And now, Roma Wines bring back to our Hollywood soundstage James Stewart, who, as Dr. Philip Martin, in consequence, continues a narrative well calculated to keep you in suspense.
There must be something of the criminal in every man, because it seemed that I knew automatically everything I would have to do and how I was going to do it.
Hotel Wilton.
Dr. Wolf, please. Dr. Theodore Wolf.
Thank you. I'm sorry, sir. Dr. Wolf doesn't answer.
Oh, well, say, what's the number of his room again? I'd like to drop him a note.
Dr. Wolf is in 502.
502. Thank you. I knew in a big hotel like that, the chances of anyone remembering exactly what Ted looked like were pretty slim, and I figured that they'd give me the key all right as long as I didn't stumble around asking for the number. I let myself into 502, and I snapped on the light. I found the plane ticket on the bureau, and then I pried open his luggage and changed into one of his suits. I put on his hat and his overcoat, just in case. I packed my own things away. There were a pair of dark glasses on the bureau, too, and I put them on. And then I went down, checked out, paid cash. I knew he'd bought the plane ticket at the airport, so the travel clerk at the hotel, why, he wouldn't know Ted Wolf from Adam.
Yes, sir?
I'm Dr. Wolf. I've been staying here at the hotel.
Oh, yes, doctor.
I have a through plane ticket here to Ecuador, Pan American, for tonight. I'd like to turn it in.
Mm-hmm. One moment, doctor. Oh, that's Dr.
Dr. Theodore Wolf.
Thank you. Hello, Pan American, Wilton Hotel. Say, I got a through ticket to Ecuador. Dr. Theodore Wolf, will you take it? All right. That'll be quite all right, doctor.
Oh, and while you're at it, you might as well get me a couple of train tickets.
Yes, sir. Where to, sir?
Huh?
I said, where to, sir?
Oh, Los Angeles. We'd taken care of everything. A note to my bank, supposedly from Ted, enclosing Philip Martin's check for $5,000, and a letter in my own handwriting explaining that I'd agreed to lend him that amount, and asking the bank to forward the money to my account in Los Angeles. My account is Ted Wolf. And we drafted a letter to the people in Ecuador, and in Los Angeles, Joe became Mrs. Ted Wolf. At first, everything clicked. I got the kind of a job a doctor would dream about, where I could write my own ticket and spend at least half my time entirely on research. And Joe started taking courses in a medical degree. Well, after all, she was only 24. And then, right here in broad daylight, in the hospital, it happened.
Hello.
Joe. You'll pack a bag as quick as you can. Just enough for 2 or 3 days in the mountains. As fast as you can.
Bill.
It's Gwen. I saw her just now upstairs in the reception room.
Gwen, are you sure?
Absolutely sure.
Oh, no. Couldn't it be a coincidence, Bill? I mean, couldn't Gwen maybe just have happened
maybe,
to be...
Maybe. Now, listen, Joe. I've been thinking.
She mustn't know where we go.
That's just what I was thinking. Maybe it would be better if she did know where we were going.
If she did...
I don't know. Maybe just a coincidence. But if it is a showdown, the mountains would be a better place than here.
All right.
I'll phone the landlady.
Oh, Philly, is that safe?
Gwen won't talk, not until she's sure.
Carlton Apartments, Mrs. Burton.
Hello, Mrs. Burton. This is Dr. Wolf. I wonder if you'd do me a favor.
Oh, I'd be glad to, Dr. Wolf.
We're going out of town for a couple of days, and I just remembered that some friends said they might stop by. We thought they might like to join us, so I wanted them to know where we were.
All right.
Maybe you could just stick a note on our door where they could see it. We're going to Caribou Lake, and we'll be in the cottage at the very top of the mountain. It's straight up a dirt road from the lake. They can't miss it.
Caribou Lake, the cottage at the top of the mountain, up the dirt road from the lake. Is that all?
Yes, thank you, Miss Burton. That's all. Caribou Lake is nothing much more than just a general store where you can buy bait and hire boats and cottages and that time of year, there's hardly anybody there except the people who run the store, and our cottage was a good 3 miles away up a twisting dirt road running above the lake, but you could see it good and plain even at night when the lights were on. We stopped at the store and both went in to buy the things we needed, you know, food and kerosene, matches and stuff like that. And then we went on up the mountain. By that time, it was almost dark, and Joe fixed something for us to eat, and neither one of us could touch it. We were watching the road for lights of a car. It was about 8:30 when we saw them. They went right past the store without stopping, and they came on up the mountain. It couldn't have been anyone else but Gwen.
Well?
Well, she didn't waste any time.
Phil, what if the car is rented?
Oh, she'd bring her own. She loves to drive.
Phil, you're not afraid, are you?
No. Not anymore. I'll go.
Well, this is a surprise.
Hello, Gwen.
Dr. Martin. Always poised. Nothing surprises you, does it?
I suppose it was the check.
Partly. And then I happened to notice that a Dr. Theodore Wolfe had married a Miss Josephine Reynolds in Los Angeles. And it did occur to me that your idealistic friend must have been an awfully fast worker. Well, aren't you and your bride going to ask me in?
Come in, Mrs. Martin.
Thank you. Quite cozy, aren't you?
We have been.
Well, I'm sorry to break up your little idea.
Cut it out, Gwen. What do you want?
Why, my dear man, what do you think I want?
The way things are now, you've got $200,000 worth of life insurance coming to you. Why don't you let us alone?
Philip, I don't know whether you realize how much worry and anguish you've caused me.
Sure, I know. I know just exactly how much.
Then perhaps you also know exactly how you stand with the law in this matter. I don't know about all this impersonation business, except that it would permanently ruin your career. But I do know that the laws covering bigamy are quite drastic.
I used to think that money meant everything to you, Gwen. I guess it doesn't.
I don't feel called upon to accept rebukes from you, Philip, for anything. Not after what you've done. I feel that I'm being most generous to both of you.
What is it exactly you want, Gwen?
Either you come back and we'll explain the whole thing as amnesia or something, or you both go to jail.
How could you?
You shut up.
Listen. Does anybody else know about this?
Of course not.
Nobody knows you came out here, or why.
After all, Philip, I do have some pride left. I just said I was taking a little trip to New York to forget.
All right, all right. Now just give us a couple of minutes to talk things over, will you? Alone.
Very well. Although I don't see that there's very much to talk about.
Will you go outside or shall we?
I'll go. I'll wait in the car.
Oh, Phil.
It's all right, Joe. I don't mind now.
Neither do I.
Do you think you can do it?
Me?
Yes, I'll have to have an alibi.
Have you thought about how...
Yeah, all day, I guess. But it's all right, it's good. She'll disappear the same way I did.
Fire?
Yeah. Only I'll have to be down at the store when it happens. This place will go up like kindling. And when they pull her out, they'll think it's you. Nobody knows she's here. And I'll be there to say it is you.
How are you going to start?
I got that all fixed. It's down in the cellar. All you have to do is... Here. Use this hatchet. Can you?
Yes. I will.
And then go out to the car and get on the floor in the back seat, under a blanket, lock it from the inside. I can probably get away right afterwards.
All right, Phil.
I'll see you in the car. The whole thing shouldn't take more than a couple of hours.
Phil... You're not afraid.
Are you?
No. I'm glad.
Gwen?
Yes?
Come on in.
Well, have you decided?
Yes. You might as well eat with us. There'll be a few details to talk over.
I'm not sure I feel much like eating in this house, Philip.
Well, I'm not going to start back hungry. Give me the keys to your car, will you? It's blocking mine. I've got to go down to the store and get something for dinner.
Really, Philip?
Oh, stop griping. You've won. Give me the keys.
Very well. But I wouldn't try any mad dashes if I were you.
No, don't be a fool, Gwen.
No, I don't suppose you would. Alone.
She went in. I took the keys. First, I went around back and down cellar. I put a lot of old newspapers around the wood pile and doused the whole thing with kerosene. Then I cut a stub of a plumber's candle and set it on the papers and lit it. I knew just about how long it'd take the candle to burn down, about 45 minutes, something like that. And then I went out and got in Gwen's car and started down the mountain without lights. At the drop above the lake, I put it in low, crammed on the wheels, and jumped out. It bounced once and then went over where there's about 40 feet of water. Unless somebody told them where to look, they'd never find it. All that had taken about 15 minutes. The walk down to the store took about 20 more.
Forget something, Dr. Wolf?
Yep. Yeah, like a fool tobacco. I can't get through the night without a pipe.
No, just how it is. You walk down?
Yep. Yeah, working up an appetite.
Yeah. You folks have callers tonight?
No. Oh, why? Oh, why?
Thought I saw a car go up your way a while back.
Oh, I saw the lights. They didn't come up. Somebody must have made the wrong turn. Didn't they come back?
I don't know. I was out back for a spell. You see that car come back by, Daisy?
You must have seen it, all right, about an hour ago.
Seems like I did hear a car about there.
Sure, sure, that was it.
Yep, pretty sure it is.
She duly don't always see so good, but she hears plenty. Eh, Ma?
Look at here, Ed. Look at up there.
Huh?
Looks like a fire.
Hey. Why, it is a fire. Why, golly, Doc, that looks like your place.
Oh, it couldn't be. But it must be.
It's big, too. We better get up there, Doc.
What, do you have your car?
We'll go in the truck. It's right outside. The boys can bring Ma along in the car. See that, Ma?
Yep. Lenny, Johnny, get out the car.
All right, come on, Doc. Oh, my, I sure hope everything's all right.
Yeah, yeah, so do I. The cottage was all wood and dry, and it was completely gone by the time we got there. It was the boys who dragged her out of the embers.
I wouldn't look if I was you, Doctor.
Oh, Joe.
Must have been quick, anyway. Joe. She's burnt almost to nothing.
Hey, Ma, you better go on, Doc. We'll take care of everything.
All right.
Want one of the boys to go with you?
No, I'll get in touch with you from town. I'll make the arrangements down there and send down for the...
Yes, well, you just go on. We'll see to everything now.
All right.
I'm awful sorry, Dr. Wolf.
I climbed into the car and started down the mountain. When I was around the first bend, I reached over with one hand and touched the blanket on the floor behind me. Are you all right?
Yes, Philip. I'm quite all right.
Gwen. Gwen is... never told me how it happened. But of course she killed her. We both killed her. I know that I'm trapped. I'm hopelessly, irrevocably trapped by the terrible burden of guilt we share between us, as she is. I know now that two people held together by such a frightful bond cannot both go on living, for that bond can be broken in only one way. One of the two must die. And so I write this only to have the true facts brought to light in the event of such a death. For no matter how innocent it may appear, no matter how natural the cause, no matter how plausible the accident, it will be no accident. It will be murder. Cold-blooded, calculated, deliberate murder.
And now the local news. Dr. Philip Martin, who has been in ill health for the past 3 months while recovering from an attack of amnesia, died today in his home from an overdose of sleeping sedative. He is survived by his widow, Mrs. Gwendolyn Martin.
Suspense. Presented by Roma Wines, R-O-M-A. Made in California for enjoyment throughout the world. Before we hear again from James Stewart, the star of Consequence, tonight's suspense play, this is Truman Bradley for Roma Wines. Here's a suggestion that will make tomorrow night's fish dinner a meal to remember. Delight your family by serving delicious pale gold Roma California Sauterne. The delightful bouquet and delicate, tempting taste of Roma Sauterne bring out the flavorfulness, the real appetizing goodness of fish or fowl, lend an air of friendly companionship to the meal. And best of all, you can enjoy Roma Sauterne often. It costs so little, actually only pennies a glass. Join the millions who have made Roma America's first choice. The reason? Roma gives you true wine taste luxury at low price. Make Roma Sauterne with seafood a regular Friday night custom. Get several bottles of delicious, inexpensive Roma Sauterne tomorrow. Insist on Roma, R-O-M-A, Roma Wines. Made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
This is Jimmy Stewart again. Suspense is a radio show that got started just about the time I first found myself overseas. And with everybody, it has always been one of the two or three top favorites. I've been looking forward for a long time to my appearance with the show tonight. And next Thursday, that very swell actor Richard Green will be your star in his first broadcast since he joined the British Army 4.5 years ago.
Next Thursday, same time, Roma Wines will bring you Mr. Richard Green as star of Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills.
Produced by William Spear for the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.